believe we had Brother Mead, who spoke during the week of Vacation Bible School. He talked about how to witness to Muslims, did a fantastic job, and then I was on vacation, and so it's been a few weeks. So I'm not sure really where we left off here, but I'll kind of skim through and focus on the last point, which is, I believe, what we did not finish. But chapter 48 is, in summary, it's Jacob having a conversation with Joseph and Joseph's two sons. That's what chapter 48 is all about. And so we first of all began the chapter with Jacob's journey. And in verses 3 and 4, Jacob speaks of God's promises to him at Bethel. And chapter 48 is really a message of that. It's a message of God's goodness to Jacob. But it also speaks of the various burdens that Jacob faced. Not all of the journey that Jacob experienced was good times. And he spoke of the death of his wife Rachel, and the burial of Rachel, and the difficulty of that, the great sorrow of his life. And it's a reminder that our life is also filled with troubles, and that though our life is filled with these troubles and hard times, God is faithful. So not only did we see Jacob's journey, but we also looked at Jacob's blessing. And the blessing of Jacob, of course, is it's the birthright that has been given to Joseph's sons. And we see in this passage of Scripture this exchange that's taking place. Joseph replaced Reuben as the firstborn. Joseph's two sons would now replace Simeon and Levi. And Jacob, he brings his two sons to his father, Joseph brings his two sons to his father to receive the blessing. Manasseh was the firstborn, so he put him on the right side, and Ephraim was placed on the left side. The firstborn would normally receive the blessing. But in this passage of Scripture, we see the fifth time in the Bible where roles are reversed. God chose Abel and not Cain, Isaac and not Ishmael, Jacob and not Esau, Joseph and not Reuben. And we see in this passage that Jacob crossed his hands and blessed Ephraim. Of course, this was not the doing of Jacob, but this was the leading of the Lord. In Jacob's life. And so Jacob was guided by God. Of course, Manasseh and Ephraim would both become great leaders in Israel. And so in this passage of Scripture in chapter 48, Jacob speaks of God's shepherding in his life. And we have this incredible thought in this passage of Scripture of God's shepherding, where the Bible says in verse 15 of chapter 48, it says, "And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel, capital A, which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads and let my name be named on them, in the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." Now, in the Old Testament, that expression is used throughout the Bible. In the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord. And there are times in the Bible where the angel of the Lord is an expression of the Lord Jesus himself, the pre-incarnate Christ. Jesus has always been. He didn't start in Bethlehem. And we call this a Christophany, a Christophany. And so we see this in this passage of Scripture that here Jacob is making mention of the great shepherd of his life. And really the faith that he had in the Messiah, that God would promise a Messiah that would rescue the people from their sins. And this is the faith that Jacob had, and it's a wonderful reference to that. So then we come to number three, and it's the end of this chapter, and it's Joseph's double portion. Joseph's double portion. So as the chapter ends, Joseph receives an unexpected gift that day. The Bible says that he receives a parcel of land. And this piece of land that Jacob had received and that Jacob was giving to Joseph was probably land that he received from the Amorites. Jacob could have received the land during his battle in Shechem. It's interesting because as we look at the New Testament, in John chapter 4, Jesus meets a woman of Sychar there, and the Lord Jesus leads her to saving faith. And so the interesting thing about this double portion that Joseph receives is that this double portion or this land would carry over into the future kingdom. That even in the millennial reign, this blessing or this double portion would be remembered. Ezekiel chapter 47 in verse 13 speaks of this. The Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord God, this shall be the border, whereby ye shall inherit the land according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph shall have two portions." And so this was an incredible gift that was given from Jacob to Joseph, and it was a wonderful blessing. And so here in this passage of Scripture, as we close out chapter 48, we see that Joseph and his two sons meet with Jacob, and here a blessing is given, here the birthright is given, here a double portion is given to Joseph. But then as we come to chapter 49, things become a little more serious. And now Jacob is going to meet with all of his sons. All right, so let's turn there and look at what the Bible says here. In chapter 49, and we're going to read in verse number 1. Genesis chapter 49 in verse 1. "And Jacob called unto his sons and said, Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel, your father." Now, we're not going to have time tonight to go through all of the sons. We're going to go through a couple of them. But in the next verses, and we're going to read all of this to begin the message, the Bible study, but he's individually going to speak to all of his sons. Now, I entitled this Bible study tonight, the life of Joseph and Jacob's commands to his sons. Someone has looked at this passage of Scripture, and their title was this. They called it the judgment bed of Jacob. and this is what it seems to be. It seems to be Jacob, he's rewarding and rebuking his sons for the decisions and the life they lived. Now look what the Bible says here, verse number 3. It starts with Reuben. "Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power." Sounds good so far. But not in verse 4, it's not getting any better here. "Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, thou defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. Verse 5 says, Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly. Mine honor, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp or a pup. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he coached as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse or make angry him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet. Unto Shiloh, or peace, come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Binding his foal, or the idea there is a young horse, unto the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be for a haven of ships, and his border shall be unto Sidon. Issachar is a strong ass coaching down between two burdens. And he saw the rest was good and the land that it was pleasant, and bowed his shoulder to bear, and became a servant unto tribute. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Gad, a troop, shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Out of Asher his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. Naphtali is a hind let loose. He giveth goodly words. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him. By the way, verse 23, the archers are speaking about his brothers. His archers are sorely, and by the way, the brothers that are listening to this conversation, the archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. And his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the mighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breasts and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors or my descendants unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Benjamin shall reven or plunder, the thought there is, as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is it that their father spake unto them and blessed them. Everyone according to his blessing he blessed them. And he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, and the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the land of Canaan, where Abraham bought the field of Ephron the Hittite for a possession of a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife, and they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife, and there I buried Leah. The purchase of the field and of the cave that is therein was from the children of Heth. And when Jacob had made an end of the commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. So this really concludes for us the life of Jacob. And he went out with a bang, that's for sure. You know, we started this Bible study all the way back in April. And my intention was, in April, that I would preach 4 Bible studies on the life of Joseph. I would give you an overview of Joseph's life, was the idea. But God had different plans in that. And I felt led of the Lord to continue this study and to go and look at the entire life of Joseph. And now we come to the 49th chapter of the book of Genesis. And it has been, it's been an incredible journey. And it's been an incredible study. And I've really enjoyed learning about Joseph's life. But it really hasn't just been about Joseph, right? I mean, we talked about the fact that this is a study on God's pathway and that God's pathway is greater. But this is God's pathway not only for Joseph, but it's also a pathway for Jacob. And it's also God's pathway for his sons and for this nation that would be established in a pagan land. This was God's perfect pathway. And I think we can look at this and say there are times in our life it just doesn't make sense what God is doing. But we just trust God's perfect pathway, that God knows what is best. And so Jacob, before he steps out into eternity, he's going to have a heart-to-heart with his boys. He's going to tell his boys the way that it is. And I take it from what he's saying here, he doesn't care if they get offended. He's telling them really their character. But also it's more than just their character. We know that the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible, and this is a message from God. This is prophetic. And God is telling us here their future. It's prophetic in nature. He's laying out for us their part in the history of Israel. And all of this is based on the decisions that they have made. It's interesting. I want us to look at an introduction here, and I think it's important for us to look at these first couple of verses, because these first couple of verses really lay out what Jacob is going to be saying. In verse number 1, I'll read it again, "And Jacob called unto his sons and said, Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days." Now, that expression there, the last days, is the pinnacle of human history, is what he's talking about. Now, the pinnacle of human history, we think of history, is his story. The pinnacle of human history is the coming of Messiah. And the purpose of Israel was that they would be a nation that would stick out from other nations and would draw other nations to the true living God. It is through and by God's grace that through Israel would come the Messiah. And so when he's talking about what will befall you the last days, he's talking about the history of Israel, but also the coming of the Messiah and God's pathway in that. Your part in God's plan in the coming of the Messiah. I'm going to reveal to you what God has in store for you. This is big stuff here. This is big stuff here. How is God going to use me in the coming of his son? And what we have here is Jacob revealing, and really we could say the Holy Spirit is revealing their character. He's revealing their character. Now, we know that the decisions that we make set a direction for our life. And the direction of our life always has a destination. That's why the Bible says that we cannot deceive ourselves, because God is never mocked. The Bible says, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The principle of harvest excludes nobody. You will always reap what you sow. And by the way, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 and chapter 6, verse 7 and 9 is really a message that's positive in nature, because the Bible is saying if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh, and if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap of the Spirit. And the encouragement here of Paul to the church of Galatia is that you want to be a part of sowing to the Spirit. And that's why he writes, he says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. And by the way, you can underline that in your Bible, well-doing. That's talking about sowing to the Spirit. Don't be weary in this well-doing, in this sowing in the Spirit. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. And the principle of harvest is simple. You reap after you've sown, and you reap more than you've sown. And so this is the message that Jacob is really speaking to his sons as he rebukes and rewards their character and their place in God's plan in the last days. So we're going to look at each of these individuals. And again, we'll look at a couple here tonight, and then we'll continue this. This, we could call this part one, or letter A, whatever you want to call it. It's okay with me. Let's look at Reuben. Reuben. Now, Jacob begins first with Reuben's unique position. I say unique position because he was technically his firstborn. He was Leah's firstborn, but I mean, he was also Jacob's firstborn as well. But notice the introduction that he gives to Reuben. He says here, Reuben, thou art my firstborn. Now, that must have been music to Reuben's ears for his dad to acknowledge him as the firstborn. Must have been incredible for him to hear those words. But not only did Jacob call Reuben his firstborn, but he also said that you are my might, and you are the beginning of my strength. You are the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. I mean, that's a great introduction. I mean, if you were speaking anywhere in the Kitchener area at any conference, and right before you were going to speak, you were introduced. Could you imagine Brother Wyatt being introduced as a special speaker? And your introduction is the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. You're my strength. You're my might. I mean, that's a great introduction. And I think that Reuben's probably thinking, wow, this is a good day. This is a really good day. There's going to be some really good things coming my way. Now, Reuben had once been his father's pride and joy. He was indeed his firstborn. And Reuben must have thought that blessings were near. I'm sure he thought that he was going to receive the double portion that was owed to him. He didn't know that Joseph already received that double portion. I mean, as we looked at the life of Joseph, there were some times where Reuben shined, right? I mean, he did try to save Joseph. And there was a time when, remember when Jacob wouldn't let Benjamin go to Egypt, and what did Reuben say? Reuben said, listen, you know what, I'll give you my life and my sons. You know, I will guarantee the return of Benjamin. I mean, he stepped up. He stepped up. I mean, the reality is Reuben started the race well, and I think this passage of Scripture, the excellency of dignity, the excellency of power, and how he says the beginning of my strength is really a sign here that Reuben had good qualities, but there was one stain on his resume. The reality is that Reuben started well, but he didn't end well. And I'm just wondering, as he's standing there before his father, if he's thinking in his mind with such a wonderful introduction that maybe from him would come the Messiah, that maybe from him the nation would be named, the nation of Reuben. Sounds wonderful. I'm wondering if he's thinking that maybe he'd be given the priesthood. Something incredible is going to happen, and that's no doubt what he's thinking. But notice what follows in verse 4. Jacob says, Reuben, you're unstable as water. Wow. That hurt. And the Bible says, Jacob said, thou shalt not excel. Because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, thou defilest it, thou it. He went up to my couch. Now, there's a couple of things we have to look at here. First of all, notice Jacob here. Again, he's revealing the character of Reuben. Reuben had some character flaws. And the Bible says that he was unstable. He was unstable. He was a man that was driven, like James says, in the waves of the sea. He was unstable in his life. And Jacob reveals for us in this passage that he did not have the stability in his life to lead. And I think it's important for leaders in homes and communities and churches to be stable. And here the Bible says that he was unstable. He wasn't loyal. He wasn't faithful. And the Bible says, point blank, Jacob said, you will not excel. You will not go forward. You will not lead. And his tribe, by the way, prophetically, his tribe would never lead in Israel. That prophecy came true. His tribe would never lead in Israel, only in a negative way. When you go through the history of Israel, only in a negative way did the Reubenites ever influence Israel. Only in a negative way. But also in this passage of Scripture, Jacob also mentions the sin of Reuben. And this sin had happened 40 years after it occurred. Talk about reaping more than you've sown and after you've sown. 40 years. He was 22 years in Canaan and 17 years in Egypt. In verse number 4, it speaks of this relationship, and it doesn't go into detail. I'll give you a little brief description of this. Reuben had a relationship with Bilhah, his stepmother's maid and father's concubine. And in that one moment of weakness in his flesh, his actions had brought shame to his father and his family, and Reuben was now reaping what he had sown. And so here is Reuben standing before his father Jacob, and Reuben is an illustration of one who started off well, but he didn't finish well. He didn't finish well. Number 3 in our notes, or we could see number 2 if we're looking at the individuals, is Simeon and Levi. Now, these two men are judged as one in chapter 5 and 7, and the Bible explains to us why their relationship is that they are brothers. They're close brothers. And here we see not only their criminal behavior, but their heart behind the criminal behavior. And so the Bible says in verse 5, Simeon and Levi are brethren. And look at this, instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. The Bible says in this passage of Scripture, that unlike Reuben in a moment of weakness, we see that with Simeon and Levi, they were deliberate in their wickedness. They were deliberate in their wickedness. In fact, the Bible says that their anger is rebuked in verse 7, and the Bible says their anger was fierce and their wrath was cruel. This speaks of their heart and it speaks of their actions. All of the tribes, Simeon alone had no inheritance in Israel. And the Bible says in Joshua chapter 19 and verse 9, out of the portion of the children of Judah was the inheritance of the children of Simeon, for the part of the children of Judah was too much for them. Therefore, the children of Simeon had their inheritance within the inheritance of them. And the Bible says that at the end, as is prophetic in this passage of Scripture, that the tribe of Simeon was scattered abroad. It was scattered abroad. And by the way, the tribe of Levi was the same. There is one interesting thought when you study the life of the tribe of Levi or the Levites. Levi took a stand for God at Baal Peor when Israel sinned with the daughters of Moab. We know the story when Moses raised the standard and cried, "Who is on the Lord's side?" It was actually the tribe of Levi that responded, which is interesting. The Levites received really no territorial grant in Canaan. Instead, they received 48 cities scattered up and down the kingdom among the tribes. And so Levi is the tribe of Levi, another example of reaping and sowing, and we see here their end because of that they are scattered abroad. But we do see glimpses of grace because of their stand for the truth. The next individual here is Judah. Now, Judah didn't have a perfect past as well. Judah also had a background. He had married a pagan woman. But it's interesting that this, none of this was brought up in the message that Jacob had to Judah. And there's lots of opinions in this. My guess is that he repented and it's forgotten. And there's some other thoughts in this, and we'll look at some other thoughts as we go through this study. But when Jacob looked at Judah, he saw a leader. He saw a leader in Israel. And the Bible says here that, describing Judah, that he was a man whose brothers would praise him. Look what the Bible says in verse 8 here of our text. "Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's brethren shall bow down before thee." Judah is a lion's whelp. "From the prey, my son, thou art gone up." He stooped down. He coasted as a lion, and as an old lion, he shall rouse him up. "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be, binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk." Now, it's interesting because Judah didn't start well, but Judah ended well. And Reuben started well, but Reuben didn't end well. I just think that this is an important lesson for us as Christians and a wake-up call. That anyone can start a race, but not everyone finishes. And we don't want to just be starting the race. We want to get to the finish line. And we don't want to be rebuked at the end. We want to be rewarded at the end. And I think that this is a great reminder of that. Now, Judah was to be a royal tribe. And the illustration there of a lion is a wonderful picture here of the royalty of the leadership of Judah. Now, when Jacob looked at Judah, he saw two things. First of all, when he looked at Judah, He saw the Lord. He saw the Lord. Jacob said that he would be, or his leadership would be, as a lion's whelp. As a lion, Judah would lead in strength, and Judah would lead in integrity. Of course, when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Lion of Judah. He's the Lion of Judah. And this is an important passage of Scripture to help us to understand that from the tribe of Judah would come the greatest king outside of the Lord Jesus that Israel has ever known, and that was King David. David came from the tribe of Judah. The Bible says in verse 10 that the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet unto Shiloh come. Now, listen, this is important, because what Jacob is saying here is that from the lineage of Judah would come the Messiah. And we know from the lineage of David and the lineage of Judah, the Lord Jesus came. He is the Prince of Peace. And the Bible says here, until Shiloh come, and that idea there is the same as the New Testament interpretation, Shalom, which is peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And so Judah would receive the greatest gift of all. Of all the things that his father could give him, what Jacob was saying here was, Judah, from your lineage would come the Savior, the Messiah. And you will rule as a lion. And from your lineage will come great kings who will rule as a lion. But don't miss this, Judah. The greatest king of all will come from your seed. And that will be the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest gift that Judah could ever have was to be a part of God's eternal plan to save the world. What an incredible privilege. By the way, don't miss this. This is a man who started off bad, but ended well. I'm grateful for the grace of God. And no matter where we are today, it doesn't have to be our story. By the grace of God, we can get things right. And we can get on the right path and do the right thing. We don't want to be a Reuben, we want to be a Judah. It's a wonderful story. But not only when he looked at Judah, not only did he see the Lord, he also saw the land. He saw the land. And in wonderful poetic terms, the King James Bible gives us this illustration of the millennial and the prosperity of the millennial. When who is the king in the millennial? Jesus. The Lion of Judah is king. And the Bible says in verse 11, binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's colt under the choice vine, he washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. It's a wonderful picture in this passage of Scripture of peace and plenty as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords reigns. Through the lineage of Judah will come a Savior, indeed the greatest king that Israel has ever known. And by the way, I do believe that when we look at this passage of Scripture, there is a great picture of the judgment seat of Christ. Because I've been preaching this for my 10 years of ministry, that as Christians, when we stand before God, we won't be judged as sinners, but stewards. And it's a wonderful blessing when I read this passage of Scripture as Judah stands before his father. And I believe there's a great comparison here of the judgment seat of Christ, that all of our sins and failures will be lost in the person of Jesus Christ. Because I don't know if you missed it, but it's not about Judah in this passage of Scripture. It's about Jesus. And Judah just gets to be a part of it. He just gets to be a part of it. And the same is true for us. It's never about us. It's always about Jesus. But we just get to be a part of it. It's a wonderful blessing. All right, we'll continue down this list here. And tense times. Can you imagine if you're third in the list? You're like, oh no, what is he going to say about me? All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for all you've done. And we're grateful for the time that we can have tonight. I pray.